Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Stefan Tomke is with us, ladies and gentlemen, for this visit, and he's been with us before. Stefan is Associate Professor of Technology and Operations Management at Harvard Business School. He's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, Experimentation Manners, Unlocking the Potential of New Technologies for Innovation. Stefan, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me back, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always, and I'm still excited about your book. I think you remember I was when I introduced it to the audience.
Yeah.
When we introduced it to the audience three months ago, and this is such an important thing. I actually, one of the chapters in my book is about experimentation, and a friend of mine said, you know, I don't think people like change, but I think they like experimenting. And Stefan, when I look around at what's going on with small business owners, they're getting caught up in this whirlwind of change. And the truth is, the only thing that's happened, that's changed in the last 3,000 years in the marketplace, is the velocity of change. All these other things that we think are changes are really just new tools and a variation on a previous tool, but the velocity at which things are changing, that's what's new. And it's a whirlwind that we seem to be getting caught up in. And so my premise is, if we can focus on experimenting inside of our organization with what we want to try to stay abreast of current technologies, current practice, best practices, that sort of thing, if we can focus on experimentation rather than change, I think that's a healthier way to approach it. What do you think?
Well, I totally agree with you, Jim, and let me tell you why. If you think about sort of the acceleration of change, what happens is for business owners and also managers is that change introduces uncertainty. Okay, mm-hmm. So what we're doing is now we're sort of living in a time where the uncertainty around us sort of is increasing. Now, when you think about uncertainty, uncertainty sort of happens at multiple levels. Let me sort of explain to you quickly what these levels are. We have uncertainty sort of at the technical level, that is, when we design something or create something, we ask ourselves, does it work? Then we have uncertainty at the production level, sort of when we make something, the question that we sort of ask ourselves, can it be effectively produced at high quality? Then there's need uncertainty, that is what we're creating, the product or the service, does it in fact address a customer need? And then the fourth one is market uncertainty. That is, does the market size justify the resource investment that we're taking? So there are sort of four levels of uncertainty: technical, production, need, and market uncertainty. And with accelerating change, the uncertainty in all of these four dimensions is increasing. Now, if you really ask yourself how that uncertainty can be most effectively dealt with, there are only three fundamental ways for companies to address that uncertainty. One is what I call first principles, and that is, it would be really nice if we had the equivalent of laws of physics in business. Well, unfortunately, that doesn't exist. We don't have that,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if we had these fundamental laws, we could just sort of try and predict what's going to happen.
Right.
The second area is sort of experience. Someone has done it before somewhere else. Chances are, even if someone has done it before somewhere else, we don't have access to the information because it may be a competitor.
Right.
And then the third one is experimentation. And so that is, you know, we basically carry out experiments that will tell us what happens with respect to these four uncertainties.
Well,
so if you buy into this notion that both experience and sort of these first principles don't really work very well, you're only left with experimentation. That's really the only way to address it.
Well, and not only is that the practical way to address it, it's also the human way, in my opinion, because
yep.
It's a way to make your company evolve, to let your company make the needed adjustments that they have to make without creating a casualty list.
Exactly. And it's sort of, experimentation is something that actually comes quite natural to people. In fact, you know, I've got three kids at home, and it comes very natural to them. If they don't know something, they'll just try it out.
Right.
Somehow, when we grow up and become adults, we forget how to experiment. And in fact, when you go into companies, and this has been, by the way, you know, sort of, this is said before, and sort of a way back in the 1980s in a well-known book called In Search of Excellence.
Right.
And they basically complained about how big institutions and companies have forgotten how to test and learn. They prefer analysis and debate to trying something out, and they're paralyzed by fear of failure, however small. And so we need to sort of get over that. If we fundamentally believe that experimentation, small experiments, is the way to deal with that change, we need to stop being paralyzed, and we need to be ready to try things out and put our resources behind it.
Right. All right, so how do we do that? What are some of the steps that we can take?
Well, there's a couple things. There's sort of a first step, and I often do that when I sort of, when I teach here and when I go into companies, I ask people a question, okay? And the question that goes as follows, and your listeners should probably try to answer the question as well. Can you make a list of 10 to 15 small organizational or business experiments that your company is currently carrying out? Can you sit down right now and make that list? Turns out that most of the people that I ask cannot do that.
Right. They may not even be able to come up with one.
They don't have a list like that. And then, some of them are hard-pressed to put even one or two down, right? And so if the answer to that question is no, I cannot do that right now, how in the world do you expect to come up with anything innovative?
Mm-hmm.
Innovative technologies, products that address new markets and fuel growth.
Well, forget innovation. How about just keeping up?
Exactly.
You've heard the old story, the old Alice in Wonderland thing about she had to run as fast as she could to stay in one place.
That's right.
You're not even staying in one place.
That's right. Just trying to keep up with that, the Red Queen effect.
Well, and the thing to me, if you're not doing some experimentation, if you're not testing the envelope somewhere in your organization, especially on a level that you can't even identify, then not only are you not leading the way, not only are you not pushing the envelope anywhere, but you're actually probably falling behind. And so what I want to do when we come back, we're going to get Stefan to walk us through some steps on how you can get this going. And I'll tell you something else, folks. And Stefan, I think you'll agree with me. I think with a little bit of help, you probably can find some examples of experimentation. You just didn't know that's what it was called. And we're going to help you to identify some of those right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Stefan Tompke, the author of Experimentation Matters. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Stefan Tompke, the author of Experimentation Matters. Stefan, tell us where the book's available, please.
The book is available from Harvard Business School Press.
Okay.
But there are two ways to get it. Either you go to the Harvard Business School Press website, get it from there, or you can go to Amazon, where it's listed as well.
Okay.
And quite well.
The last name is Tomke, folks. Tomke, Stefan H. Tomke. The book is called Experimentation Matters, so check that out whenever you can. And, you know, Stefan, what I was saying just before we took the break, I think that there are people out there who couldn't answer your question in the affirmative, are you experimenting? Not because they're not doing it, but because they don't know that they're doing it. What do you think?
That's right. Well, let me actually sort of take a step back and actually say something about those one or two people who can actually answer the question with yes, that is, whether they're doing some experiments. And they answer yes, but when I actually push them on it, and that is when I ask them whether the projects are designed, funded, and managed as experiments, they usually sort of, say no.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize quite often, and we see this a lot in companies, and I'm sure your listeners have experienced that as well, that we try something out and it fails, and we sort of say, well, it must have been an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, you know, we need to define any project as an experiment at the beginning and manage it that way, that is, to maximize learning from success and failure in order for the experiment to be effective. And the outcome of a good experiment is that the amount that you learn from it.
And, well, and
so
also,
that's sort of a very subtle distinction.
One of the things that I'd like to point out, to me, an experiment is, you know, when you do an experiment, you can have preconceived notions about what success is, but you may not know whether you're correct in your assumptions or not until it's over. It may be that you get something that you thought was a failure, that you thought was unsuccessful, but the truth is your assumptions were incorrect, and that the results were actually a success because you were thinking about it the wrong way.
Absolutely. It's important to note that an experiment resulting in failure is not a failed experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sort of usually, that quite often gets companies sort of a little bit confused because they're so predicated for success that they're sort of expecting something good to happen at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unless you're willing to learn from it, unless you're ready sort of to accept failure as an opportunity to learn, it doesn't work very well.
Did you have some technology points that you'd like to make about experimentation?
Yeah, so one of the big points, you know, that we also discussed last time, and that's really exciting, is that we have a lot of new technologies such as computer modeling and simulation and other rapid prototyping, all sorts of things, you know, the electronic spreadsheet that allows us to sort of run experiments much more quickly and at a fraction of the cost that sort of it would have sort of cost us just 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we did is we actually looked at this effect, that is, when companies start putting a lot of money into these new technologies and use them in their innovation processes, we looked how they translated these technologies in productivity gains and sort of new abilities to create value for customers and innovate and so forth. And we found something that is quite interesting and I think sort of generally applies to a lot of different technologies as well. Let me tell you the following. Very interesting. What we found is that the companies that spend the most money on these kinds of technologies and buy the best technology that's on the shelf don't necessarily get the biggest performance advantages out of that. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is there's sort of an excessive reliance on the technology to solve all your problems. The companies that actually got the most out of these technology investments are the ones who fundamentally looked at their process, organization, and management and innovation and sort of looked at opportunities how to change these things as a result of the opportunities that the technologies would provide. And that then resulted in some of these big sort of leaps of productivity and innovativeness.
Hmm. All right.
And so that's quite important for your listeners as well. The answer is not to go out and buy, you know, spend, you know, millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, which is the case for large companies,
right?
On technologies and then basically expect technology sort of to solve all your problems. Usually, you know, spending less is actually quite sufficient. It's really sort of looking at the process and the organization, the management of innovation,
that
makes a difference.
On the small business end, one of the things that we have to do, I think, more than that, is to think about technology as a solution. In other words, I think we need to focus more on technology and blend the human resources together more with the technology resources than we have in the past. And I think that's one of the things that the small businesses need to focus on.
Exactly, exactly. What we need to understand, people are the ones who create new products and services. Technologies don't create products and services.
Technology, I like to think of technology as a lever.
Yeah,
it's
an enabler.
Lever. Mm-hmm, that's exactly right. And if you think about it like that, folks, and blend it in with your human resources, then you can conduct some of these experiments. And don't forget, experimentation matters. That's the title of the book, and the author is Stefan H. Tomke. Stefan, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. Right after these messages, the show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
She's got it.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.